Johnson, and John Kumasa singing Polish songs by Chopin. Tickets at RacineSymphony.org or by calling 636-9285.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, want to help raise awareness for the local homeless? Halo of Racine will host the Sleep Out at Baden Airport on Friday, October 16th. You will be sleeping outside in a box and must raise $100 of pledges to participate. Visit haloinc.org/sleepout.
Support for WGTD comes from Vero International Cuisine in Racine on 6th Avenue near Monument Square, featuring American food with an international twist in a serene setting with intimate and exotic touches. Online at verointernationalcuisine.com. This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, and Chuck Wolbers, a transition and work experience teacher in the special education department at Tremper High School, also in Kenosha. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. I'm co-moderator Chuck Wolbers, and we are broadcasting from the Gateway Technical College Kenosha campus from high atop the beautiful and ultra-modern bioscience building. I'm honored to introduce our listeners to my guests today, Sergeant First Class James Mompas and Sergeant Aaron Smeester, both of the U.S. Army, and they work with the Armed Forces Career Center in Kenosha. They're both going to be discussing education benefits, opportunities, and incentives that exist and support military training and mission focus in the active and reserve components of the U.S. Army. I will clarify later, but that is, again, in the active and federal reserve components of the U.S. Army as opposed to the National Guard, which we discussed last month. And before we start with background introductions and questions for discussion, I'd like to extend my sincere appreciation to my uniformed guests for their contribution, patriotism, and service. Additionally, I would say that from a personal standpoint, as a matter of editorial focus, as I discussed last month, today's Education Matters show is not a recruiting event per se, as much as I am proud to characterize a comparison of opportunities to consider in the interest of supporting the optimum informed choice about the value higher education plays in the military and in the various capacities in which one may serve. This is truly about the battlefield unity, mutual support, and reinforcement of the fact that military education and training is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Military service is characterized by understanding increasingly complex, technologically advanced, confidential equipment and tactical operation concepts. This requires higher order intellectual or thinking application skill sets. So each branch, component, and mission has its unique importance and is unable to accomplish force integration mission success as a standalone function. It's just not going to happen that way. They all have to work together. Today's show, as I said, is a follow-up to my September segment, which presented the Wisconsin Army National Guard or state-specific options, which are peculiar to local military duty eligibility. As I do with all my guests, I am pleased to introduce both Sergeant Mompas and Sergeant Smeester, and I'm going to allow them to describe their professional background and the role education has played in bringing them to this point. If we could start with Sergeant Mompas, we'll go rank first, and Sergeant First Class Mompas, welcome.
Thank you. Again, my name is Sergeant First Class James Mopaw. Been doing this for about 16 years. I started out active duty, went to enlisted as a 63 Echo, which is a M1 mechanic, M1 Abrams mechanic.
And that's a tank.
That's a tank, yeah. The main battle tank of the U.S. Army.
Yeah.
Did that for 3 years. I loved it. You know, had to get trained in my job. You know, went through basic training at first, and then got trained on how to specifically work on that mm-hmm. particular vehicle. After my 3 years, decided that time to move on. My plan was to go to college after my initial 3 years, so I moved back to the state of Wisconsin, and of course joined the Wisconsin National Guard, and used my education benefits to pursue a degree. During that time, it was around September 11th. We were in the middle of fighting the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and ended up on a deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So did that for a year, came back home, then again picked up my college degree at UW-Stout.
Okay.
Where I could...
So you continued your progress after from deployment.
Once I had returned from deployment. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, taking some classes while I was while I was in there too, what I could online, because, again, my focus was elsewhere. Since doing that, I did the Wisconsin National Guard for a number of years and decided that, and that was as a, again, I changed my MOS when I joined the Wisconsin.
Your military occupation specialty and MOS, and I'll try to cut through some of the jargon, and I beg your indulgence on this, because sometimes as I'm listening to this, I understand certainly what some of the initials mean, but I will attempt to interject and clarify so we can help that out.
And I sometimes forget that I'm using the jargon.
Yes, oh, it becomes automatic. But the military occupational specialty is a career categorized specialty system.
Yes.
And that's used, as a matter of fact, in all branches. Everyone has a military occupational specialty.
Yes.
Some other branches call, I think the Air Force calls it an AFSC, which is an Air Force specialty code, and I believe the Navy still refers to most military occupational specialties as either ranks or billets, and those kind of that kind of terminology. But go ahead, please. And your other MOS was what?
So my second one was what is 12 Tango, which is a technical engineer specialist, where that particular job focuses on engineering, construction engineering, which dealt with survey, AutoCAD or CAD drawings, and then,
which is computer assisted
auto drafting, and then soil analysis. So we prep the construction site, make sure that the construction site was durable or could withstand putting whether it was putting a road or putting a building on it, to make sure that ground was hard enough or could withstand that.
Right,
that
it was going to be resilient enough to withstand the stressors of whatever you were constructing at the time.
Correct.
And it could be some kind of a battlefield.
Battlefield runway or a road or just putting a school building.
Barriers.
Barrier or whatever we were going
to
put on.
To slow people down, something of that nature.
Yep.
So, and before we talk with Sergeant Smeester about his background, Sergeant Monpas sounds to me, and I apologize for the mispronunciation at first. We'll go formal French at this point. But you have a significant amount of STEM-oriented or science, technology, engineering, and mathematics training. So as a matter of record, that is something that the U.S. military, besides the U.S. Army, takes a very, very strong value in. And places a high value in. We'll talk a little bit more about how important that education focus is as we go through the interview, but and our discussion this morning. But I want to allow Sergeant Smeester also to talk a little bit about his education background and how, even from basic training, just the most basic. Here we're talking if one an applicant or a candidate so decides to go into the either the U.S. Army or the Air Force or something of that nature, is considering a military transition once they finished high school, that they're right from day one, even as the entry-level pay grade, you're going to be expected to perform to be earning somewhere in the neighborhood of the equivalent of $30 an hour. If you were to, I believe that statistic is still pretty current. If I was going to use a recruiting kind of a term, and I think that's pretty significant when you consider everything from job training, 30 days paid vacation, the opportunity certainly to go to school while you're on the job, and you had mentioned deployment once. Also, I would inform our listeners that it's still, to the best of my knowledge, pretty common practice. I did as a senior combat leader myself, make sure that, if you're in school, no, you're not on guard duty. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain incentives that a lot of the command structures to this day still takes into consideration as far as higher education and the value of it is concerned and managed into each soldier's duty life, not just duty day. It is part of their life. And I'm going to let Sergeant Smeester get going. I know I have a personal knowledge about some of his background, having worked at Tremper High School. He was our recruiter there. He's still the recruiter at Tremper High School, and he has a significant amount of experience in the armor branch, something, again, that I'm somewhat close to because when I went to basic training, it was at lovely Fort Knox,
lovely.
Where we had the
opportunity
to traipse up and down hills called Agony, Misery, and Heartbreak.
Heartbreak, yep.
Yes. And they're still there to this day.
I'm sure they're still there to this day.
Yes.
And so, again, some very, very pleasant memories as I even watched the movie Stripes, which was shot in some of our battalion training area.
Yep.
I'm going to let Sergeant Smeester get started. And trust me, I know how valuable and how complex and how specialized Sergeant Monpas' training is, and especially in the mechanical end of those M1 Abrams main battle tanks. We're not talking about diesel engines and piston poppers. These are aircraft engines that drive them.
Turbine aircraft engines, yep.
Yes.
And some of the armor plating and so forth, you're really not clear to talk about at this point. And as you go along and realize this, it's fascinating and remarkable. Sergeant Smeester, I'm going to let you get started.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Jack. So I guess a little bit about me is I joined the Army back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated high school, but I did not pursue the Army right away. When I did, I enlisted as a 19 kilo. That military occupational specialty is a M1 Abrams crew member.
Okay, so this is the tank driver, the tank shooter.
All four functions that are on that tank are driving, loading, gunning, and overall command and control.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I definitely developed a very big passion for.
Sure.
Over my time when I enlisted, I did an OSET program.
Okay.
What that breaks down to is one station unit training.
Sure.
It's a combination of basic and AIT.
All done with the same cohort,
yes.
The same group of people, and you all go, you attend, for our listeners, the benefit of our listeners, these soldiers all attend basic combat training, which is the initial entry training that every soldier is expected to know, and then instead of going to different classes with different people to learn your advanced or go through your advanced individual training and learn your specific weapon system, if I'm not mistaken, you advance with your cohort to
yes.
the next stage of your training, which you all get a chance to play on the tanks in that
absolutely.
Case.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's one of the cool parts about that OSET program,
mm-hmm.
because you're building that camaraderie from day one with those individuals all the way through.
Lifelong graduation. Relationships and friendships
yes.
and trust bonds that you can't break, and
mm-hmm.
and truly, whether in or out of the Army, that's a tremendous sense of fraternity.
Absolutely. Yes. And to kind of caveat off that, my first duty station, I enlisted on the active duty side. I guess I should kind of clarify that, too. My first duty station, I actually moved out to Colorado, Fort Carson.
Okay. Love
great
it.
Great location. Beautiful out there. Definitely a change of pace from Wisconsin, to say
sure.
the least. From there, I did multiple train-up events. I did a deployment in 2010 to 2011. And that skill set that the Army trained me in from day one has kind of catapulted me in the direction of leadership, confidence,
mm-hmm.
Being able to understand not only what the mission and the task is at hand,
mm-hmm.
but to be able to comprehend other things that are going to play a role in my future. At a young age, it was a good opportunity to explore a little bit who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that now education can play a role in to help me figure out, hey, I think I like to do this,
mm-hmm.
but the Army has shown me that you are actually really good at doing this
uh-huh.
from entry level till current.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has helped me out to decide career paths when it does
mm-hmm.
come to education and to be able to have that financial backing from start to finish.
I do plan time to talk about that a little bit so that the listeners who were familiar with the most recent show can perhaps make a comparison and say, oh, yeah, I remember the non-commissioned officer that was a guest talking about this program and that program. There was a Wisconsin Army, GI Bill, and
yes.
and some opportunities that are available that I want to – I see Sergeant Monpa lighting up there saying, yep, I would really want to talk about that.
Absolutely.
And so that we can make it clear and present a balanced perspective. And that's what, again, we're attempting to do. I see, and I'm sure that as you folks have been – and I think it's important for the listening audience to realize that recruiters are more conditioned and trained and developed as community resources and specifically higher education resources. They're not just Absolutely. Education resources, but mm-hmm. higher education resources, because it does happen after high school or after completion of so many post-high school credits in a college of some sort at some level. And now, as you go through basic training, talk just briefly, and let's just scratch over this a little bit so that the listening audience does gain some sense of appreciation that if you are going through initial entry training and you are interested in, and we hear a conversation about the value for higher education that the different branches of service place and can credit people with to their benefit, what could possibly go onto a college transcript that would be so valuable that someone would experience in initial entry training that a college would value and put on their transcript and say, wow, this is great. You did this, you get so many credits for that. You did this, you get so many credits for that. And then once they tabulate all that you have acquired, you come up with a plan through your education office, and they say, hey, all you have to do is complete this many credits, and we will award you. You will have earned a degree in business administration or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. So just to gel it down a little bit, some of the classes that you would attend, and these are classes, just an initial entry training. We're not even talking about the advanced stuff yet. You have nuclear, biological, chemical warfare. Yep. You have subversion and espionage directed against the Army. SATA, it's called. Mm-hmm. There are just guard duty.
Yes.
Physical education.
Yes.
Every morning.
Yes.
Yep.
And so I'm going to let Sergeant Monpaugh get started with a little bit of that and then do a handoff to Sergeant Smeester to kind of finish up.
Yeah, there's so many classes that are done in that short amount of time that mm-hmm. those classes do get, relative back to, can get related to a education right. in a college. One of those classes, you were saying, MBC, nuclear biological, may not sound like something that can go on a college transcript, but
you're not going to be a chemical engineer
from taking that class. Right. But but there's you take away the fact that you're learning a tool, you're learning a system that mm-hmm. can be related to a college transcript.
You're learning some concepts and you are also learning how to work with the materials.
Yep.
And this contributes to an overall understanding of a portion of a subject or a academic body of knowledge.
Right.
And that is what the credits are awarded on, based on the syllabus that is presented by the U.S. Army
yep.
to that institution of higher education.
Yep. All of our classes, all of our training, they are accredited. They're nationally accredited by American Council of Educators, ACE. So all those are accredited. So they fit into a mold. Not every path or class fits into a college degree.
But it could be an elective.
But it can be elective.
That's part of another degree program.
Yep.
Yes. Correct.
It does
yes.
wipe out. When I transferred all my credits into UW Stout, I think I had 36 credits. I wish I would have brought my transcript to here today that I could have showed. Well, these credits.
Maybe
all
we can do a follow up.
Yes, I did the same thing over at Kaplan, something a little bit more local here
right.
in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
We're a little outside, but
the private technical school.
But, yes,
right. And there are a number of different options. But the important thing for our listeners, I think, to understand and remember, and be aware of, is the fact that. This is high caliber consideration for mm-hmm. the academic knowledge
yep.
or the academic body of knowledge, mm-hmm. the academic discipline that
yes.
is expected in the classroom.
Yep.
And all those instructors are completely aware of that. It's all small group now, to the mm-hmm. best of my knowledge. A
yes.
lot of it is self-paced.
Yes. Self-paced, small group. Yes.
So a lot of what we're doing in the high schools now contributes to that if that student really makes best use of the environment and understands that let's get beyond some of the old rumors and stereotypes about what military service was always characterized as.
Right.
Go down to the recruiting station, wait for the bus, get kicked off the bus, and a few weeks later come out
as a soldier.
With doing the duffel bag drag, as we called it, and go home, visit folks before you get stationed or shipped off somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
No, it's definitely not like that anymore.
No, and the weapons, even the basic weapon system, the M16 A2 that we're using right now is upgraded. Oh, we're at an A4. Good. but just upgraded with technological capabilities for everything that integrates into night vision and so forth. It just amazes me what kind of stuff that kids are talking about now that I considered secret at one time, the communications devices. And those skills are all considered either for electives or actual application into a direct degree producing program. It could be political science. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's something, too, I kind of could touch on a little bit myself, because last year I went to an advanced leaders course.
Okay.
What that is, it's a professional development course that the Army is going to send you to based on, one, your performance, and two, your pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
During that course, some
but
of
your pay grade, that means now this has implications on you getting promoted and making more money.
Absolutely. And with this advanced leaders course, some of the things I can touch on that were there were more of writing-based classes.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that, you know, when you have a thesis on a paper and breaking it down.
Correct.
To the point where now you justify it. Things like that.
Making transitions.
Exactly.
Making sure spelling is proper. And a lot of people would be shocked to find out that, wow, I thought that it was just about closing and making contact with the enemy. What's the dangling participle got to do with that?
Well, right.
Unfortunately, the writing has to be accurate in order for it to oftentimes meet a legal sufficiency.
Yep.
And that's what's important to remember.
And properly referenced, and as well as
exactly.
Another thing that they do in our leadership courses is the researchability. I know researching your information is a big thing in college these days that, you know, you have to be able to research your information to find out where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we do big in our leadership courses is where do you find the research? Where do you find the information that you're looking for to explain the information that you're putting out to other soldiers or other
integrate concepts.
Integrate the concepts and the bigger concepts of
References to literature.
The literature and the bigger concepts that the Army is trying to achieve, the greater mission that the Army is trying to achieve. So trying to, again, expand your knowledge to research where that information is coming from so you can explain it to the lowest level.
Okay, or the most junior.
Or the most junior level.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we've discussed now, and we focused on initial entry training. You have a lot of civil engineering degree work. Whether you wanted to be a civil engineer or not, unfortunately, it got dumped in your lap, and you have a lot of credentials that I think that some people would find admirable and be able to say, well, why doesn't he just get out of the Army and go make a gazillion dollars as an engineer?
Sounds easier than it's explained.
Correct. But there's a certain allure and a certain interest also in that service, internal service drive, maybe your civilian or civil engineer counterpart does not have.
Yes.
And also that opportunity to travel. We can talk a little bit about that as you talk to a candidate. You're going to be able to advise them to make the best choice possible in terms of their training, their education, all these other considerations. If they want to get out of Kenosha, you're going to be like Sergeant Smeester saying, well, you better go active duty.
Absolutely.
Because the reserve component, the unit may be in Illinois or somewhere else in Wisconsin or somewhere close like that, maybe Indiana. But most part, you're going to be living here.
Yep. You're going to be stationed locally. But one of the good things about the reserves is that they do travel, maybe not necessarily on a everyday basis or when they do their...
It's not quite the love boat either.
It's not the love boat, but they get missioned or tasked every year to go on a mission. That's their summer, used to be called summer camp back in the day, but their annual training is what it's referred to as these days. But it's a two-week period where you as a soldier go and train somewhere, hopefully, outside of where your unit is located at.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we do some of those peacekeeping missions or those world affair missions where I can take, for example, my wife is getting ready to go to Africa next year.
Okay.
My wife is also in the reserves.
Okay.
But she's going to be going to Africa to help support the African mission over there that, you know, really isn't a highlight of the Army right now, but... Mm-hmm. The Army is still in Africa.
I think if people are paying attention, they're going to see the importance.
The importance of it. But
and she's probably getting some degree work and credits in foreign languages. Perhaps.
She could. That's where they would. They'd have to train her in the foreign languages, but she isn't doing any of the work in the foreign languages. Mm-hmm. They have interpreters in that field, but she's getting the experience of going somewhere and being trained on a large scale operation where mm-hmm. she's going to be in charge administratively in front of a couple hundred soldiers that sure. she's going to take care of. So if you translate it to a civilian population, that it's managing a company that's going over to take care of a relief effort. Mm-hmm. So she's managing multiple people.
And part of that experience also is going to be the deployment, the organization of all kinds of different resources
right.
from people to beans and bullets if necessary.
Yep.
This is Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM, and today's guests are Sergeant First Class James Mompa and Sergeant Aaron Smeester, U.S. Army of the Armed Forces Career Center here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And today's topic is education, and I should clarify, higher education benefits, opportunities, and incentives available in the active and reserve components of the U.S. Army. Just to cap where we are right now, we've been Sergeant Mompa has given us a little bit of perspective of some of his background. And before we talk about the direct benefits and benefit packages, I'm going to let Sergeant Smeester continue a little bit and talk briefly about some of his advanced individual training. And you tend to think, well, what's a tank driver going to be receiving a bachelor's degree in, for example? What possible skills could be accredited on the higher education level for that kind of training? And I think once we find out, people are going to have a greater level of interest and perhaps connect those dots and be able to say, wow, this truly is an educational option. It's not just a decision or choice of last resort mm-hmm. because you couldn't get that management position with the corner office and a view that you were waiting out for after completing high school.
Absolutely, and I understand what you're saying, too, where at face value, being a 19-kilo and armored crewman you with the skill set, and where it ties in with the Advanced Leaders course and the things that the Army will teach you is there's a lot more than just, command and control of a tank.
And it's not only what the Army will teach you, but it is what the taxpayers expect you to be able to do once you have to download, and I will clarify that. You're in the middle of Kabul or somewhere of that nature in Afghanistan and have to get down off that tank for some other kind of civil affairs-related thing, event, whether it be a traffic control point or assisting some kids to a school.
Absolutely.
And that's what happens. And this is what goes into some of those higher-level elective classes and academic credit considerations for civil affairs. As I said, sometimes it could be some kind of political science mm-hmm. Credit. And these are expectations and things that soldiers do every day that the American public does not know about, and that's why those people feel so fulfilled in uniform doing those jobs as opposed to the other job is that civil engineer that Sergeant Mompa could likely transition into. And there's a great deal of excitement and fulfillment that is associated and affiliated with doing those missions. So I'm going to let you continue. I wanted to interject there because this is crucial.
Absolutely. And to go back to this Advanced Leaders course, the skill set that you're learning is kind of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When you are overseas or even here stateside and you pursue that education, it's going to give you an on-the-job skill that you may not receive necessarily in the classroom. Learning and understanding how to possibly even interact in a community, let's say in a criminal justice career path.
Mm-hmm. Or banking.
Exactly. Understanding that public relations and being able to speak with somebody, not only knowledgeably, but understand the tactics and the procedures behind it, are skill sets that you're learning when the Army is furthering you in your education.
This is also body language and soft skills.
Absolutely.
You do not get in a packaged component. It's oftentimes observed. And
yes.
Sergeant so-and-so, I really like the way you delivered this portion of your presentation. However, you did not make eye contact with these people or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
Exactly.
You don't go out with an evaluation. Let's try it again.
And what do they say, too, about body language? That's 90% of our conversation on a daily basis.
And overseas, with an international focus right now, extremely important, because there are things I would never think to do with my left hand. In Saudi Arabia and some places where I have traveled, and the State Department made me well aware of some of those differences and nuances that we must be respectful of with our international neighbors.
Even eye contact is a big thing. Through my experiences that I had overseas, eye contact here stateside is something to say, hey, when I'm having a conversation, it's directed at you. We're having this discussion, but whatever it may be. Overseas now, you making direct eye contact and maybe even using your hands to figuratively speak could be a very disrespectful.
Depending on who you're talking to.
Yes, and very taboo in that type of culture. And those are the tools and the skill sets that you can kind of put in your rucksack and take with you, whether it be in a private sector position, education, or even throughout the military.
Sure. Or another public sector setting.
Absolutely.
It could be Gateway Technical College that has its own international focus. And when you're talking about attracting and creating an environment and a setting that is comfortable and respectful to those people, this is a money maker, if I can use that term figuratively, for an institution, for example, like Stout, that is also attracting its own international audience. So talking about the education benefits that are available to a soldier who's coming in, male or female, into the Army, what can they expect? And this is from the active component, and it's not, and I will clarify, this is not much different than what one could experience and take advantage of, if they're eligible for it, in the Air Force, or the Navy, or the Coast Guard, for that matter, or the Marine Corps. So speaking from that active component perspective, as opposed to the state, which I'll make that clear, which is a little bit different because the money streams of support are also different.
Yes, they are. The educational standpoint for an entry-level active duty applicant or candidate, the two main focuses are going to be your tuition assistance.
Okay, tuition assistance.
And will be your Montgomery GI Bill.
Okay, right.
The Montgomery GI Bill is kind of a two-part benefit because it can be used as a post-9/11 benefit also.
Okay.
There's different criteria to be able to access that along with other incentives that will go with it. Just to kind of briefly throw it out there, there is a stipend with a post-9/11 GI Bill that will allow that individual to have a housing allowance.
Okay.
And then the financial.
Wouldn't they get their housing allowance otherwise?
With the Montgomery GI Bill, it's a benefit that's paid directly to the individual.
If they use it once they leave the service.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then, yes, and so that stipend, and that's an additional money or monetary support amount.
Absolutely. It's a way for the Army to help you out to continue that education.
Because you're not necessarily, once you leave the Army, always going to be considered a loss. You may.
No.
As you have incurred a commitment beyond your active duty time, you're still going to be an asset to that component.
Absolutely.
And your education is a part of that. And if you do come back in, any further acquired education could be considered for promotion consideration.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So I apologize. It's exciting because, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same in a way. But in a lot of cases also, so much has changed since I was in. And, yes, I did some degree work. Let's just leave it at that. I know my own son is doing some of the same thing. And these considerations of being able to do this while deployed, as long as you have a computer node close and so forth, is pretty exciting. And the amount of support that the Army especially places in this higher education focus is, I think, a game changer for a lot of people in terms of thinking, my goodness, I either go to Parkside and student loans and so forth, absorb what could be considered crushing debt.
Absolutely.
Or I go into the military if I qualify, and these are possibilities. They're eligibilities. They're not givens because sometimes the mission is going to drive what kind of time you have available.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, and that's just something that everyone has to realize going in.
And that's kind of something, too, that, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up with continuing education at a college and even pulling out a loan. Exploring your options is definitely a focus here of this show itself, is, is understanding the benefits, that if you do go to college, understand how your financial aid is going to work, understanding how I'm going to make payments and the timelines. I've come across a lot of students just here locally that they're going to college, and I ask them a question of, hey, when do you have to start to paying back your college debt? Some of them don't really know.
Or they're asking the question, pay it back?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is a very big eye-opener for somebody like myself and even for Saramopas about seeing individuals in our community that may not have fully understood what they're getting themselves into.
Right. They think it's like a scholarship or a giveaway because the government
somehow
supported it.
Because they signed up for a grant and then they were awarded the money. And
Okay, wow. That's important and crucial to at least realize that there are people stopping in at your door for who knows what reason and didn't even realize that they had a financial obligation to that loan. It was
absolutely, because there's a variety of different loans that you can take out to go to continue education after high school.
Yeah. That you don't have to pay back until after you complete your degree.
Right, or but it starts 6 months after you complete your degree.
Yes. Yeah.
Most
and
of them do.
You're going to get a reminder and a huge bill.
Yeah, huge bill.
Very, very regularly and very, very
especially
on time.
Especially if they don't pay any of that back while they're going to college.
Or when you stop that degree program for whatever reason.
Yes.
Now, isn't there, and I'm going to just interject so that lead this discussion in another direction, is there a loan forgiveness? Is that part of the tuition assistance program, or how does that exactly work?
Yes, there is a student loan repayment program.
Okay.
It is an incentive that is by incentive, I mean that's something that you can get in your enlistment contract based on not only your qualifications, but also what you're bringing to the table, too.
Correct.
To try to be marketable to the Army.
Yes.
The way that student loan repayment program works is it can range anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 depending on that military occupational specialty and that unit that you will be working with.
Oh.
Okay.
So it's almost like a reenlistment bonus in a way, except it's not done at reenlistment time.
Right.
Think of it like – I like to think of it as like a light switch that the Army can kind of turn on and turn off that – if they're in need of a particular job field, they're going to turn it on.
High need field.
Yes. It's a high incentive. You may not have been thinking about it, but because there's a student loan repayment option for it, maybe I can see myself doing that for a little while to get to help pay off my student loans, do this job for a little while, get some skills.
So instead of playing dirty and seen as blackmail by some people, for example, oftentimes the unethical considerations might be placed on, unfortunately, the college where there was a disconnect in terms of the understanding and the student didn't realize they had this obligation. Now the Army is saying, we're here to join you, not the other way around necessarily.
Absolutely, because
we can use your skills.
We need your skill set. We know that you're a very educated individual. You have skills that you can bring to us as well as us give you a benefit back to your
Just pulling, you know, just it's not even a swag at this point. I'm sure you have pretty good mitigation or justification on this. Is there a particular field that jumps out that's you've seen a lot of kids get into this situation, and this is where the Army really has a high need? Is it like the medical field, for example, or is it
honestly it varies
any STEM
so
field,
much.
Computer
well,
stuff?
The STEM is a very big push that the Army is pushing for the STEM criteria because it's
cybersecurity,
cybersecurity, just the engineer. We need those specific degree holding individuals in our officer program. That's where I'm kind of going towards in the officer side of the this is that
right
on the officer side.
If education wasn't important to the Army, there wouldn't be a West Point.
Right, exactly. And
yes, or any ROTC program
or ROTC programs.
So
exactly.
They need those. They need some
that's
of
Reserve
those
Officer Training Corps. By the way,
yes.
They need some of that skill, that civilian skill acquired that the Army can't always offer on a full time basis. That the officer side or the civilian component can fill in, again, like a civilian, a civil engineer, where someone has gone to school, gone through the math, and figured out that if I put this here and this here, the bridge isn't going to fall down.
Sure.
And then bring them into the military where mm-hmm. they can use that skill that mm-hmm. and identify that we can
and apply it.
And apply it to yes. whatever that the Army needs.
But it's also a way of blending
the blending yes.
higher education capabilities, because for the person who can really thrive mm-hmm. in the Army training system and acquire the education and higher intellectual skill sets that the Army requires, the way they present it, which correct. Worked for me, mm-hmm. I am not a conventional classroom kind of learner.
Right.
But the kid who does, and young person who does come out of college and has acquired those skills in the conventional academic collegiate classroom has a benefit that they bring and now has to get polished up, certainly on some of the Army cultural specific expectations.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be a learning curve either way.
Yep.
Okay. So, again, we see the real importance of acknowledging the fact that the Army, at least the Army, and I'm going to throw in the Air Force and the Navy, are here to join you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, how does, for example, how does an active duty soldier serving in Korea, and we've got just a couple of minutes before I'm going to have to wrap here, but so that for the people that are traveling overseas, if an active duty soldier is serving in Korea or Italy or while deployed with the National Guard, how do they arrange for time to study in a college program? Do they do they use their education benefits to do this?
Well, I could definitely take that one. As far as continuing that education while overseas or deployed, there is an education center on the installations that the Army has.
Yep.
What that soldier would need to do is find time within his own schedule, whether it be during the duty hours or after duty hours.
He arranges that through his chain of command, his leader, his local leadership, right?
Absolutely.
Just like you would do in, if you're working for the bank, you got to see your shift manager or something like that.
Absolutely. Okay, and what they would do, they'd go down there to the education center and explain to the education advisor that this is what I would like to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point forward, they're assigned that education advisor that will help them pursue a degree, whether it be one class at a time, one class per semester, or if they can handle that workload of 2-3 classes, it's whatever mm-hmm. that soldier can maintain.
And for that degree program, then, education center advisor is much like a college advisor you would find
absolutely.
On a campus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. They are identical.
Are they certified the same way as licensed professional counselors? Are they all LPCs, or are these
yes.
people that I think that – as I recall, I'm answering my own question that they are. That these are
yes.
high.
Usually they're tied to a higher university.
These are high caliber professionals.
Yes.
With I believe it's 3,000 hours of internship and supervised clinical observation before they can take the exam to certify as an LPC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yep.
Well, this has been certainly exciting and eye-opening, I know, to myself, even as reminders from the past. I hope that it's been equally as informative and, if not entertaining, at least engaging for our listening audience. This has been Education Matters on WGTD 91.1 FM. My guests today, and I am one of the co-moderators, Chuck Wolbers. My guests have been Sergeant First Class James Mompa and Sergeant Aaron Smeester, both of the U.S. Army, and they work at the Armed Forces Career Center in Kenosha, Wisconsin. We've been discussing the higher education benefits and opportunities or incentives available in the active and reserve components of the U.S. Army and their vital importance to ensuring successful duty performance and mission accomplishment, because education matters. Until next time, thank you very, very much for listening, and look forward to talking and presenting the next topic at that point. Again, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
Support comes from the Kenosha Symphony, launching a new season Saturday, October 17th, with a Frank Sinatra tribute featuring nationally known vocalist Steve Lipia. Tickets, including a 3-concert season ticket package at a discounted price, are available online or by calling 654-9080.
Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market. Saturday is the last outdoor market of the season before vendors move back indoors the following Saturday. Featured vendors this week include Rock River Soap, all-natural soaps handcrafted by Scott the Soap Guy, luxurious lather, exceptional cleansing. Support for WGTD comes from Vero International Cuisine in Racine on 6th Avenue near Monument Square, featuring American food with an international twist in a serene setting with intimate and exotic touches. Online